Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Bob Quinn, SJ Parochial Vicar. It is the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle B.
The other day, I had one of these little blocks of time that often seem to lapse into my life, where I don't have a lot to do. Now, I've had years of practice not doing very much, so I'm good at it. But this particular time, I was thinking about something that popped into my mind all of a sudden, and it was that next week, next Saturday, I will do my officiate at my third wedding here at Stanford Memorial Church. Now, in my 19 years in Zambia, I only ever officiated at two weddings. Now, just like I have in the States, I worked in schools, I worked in parishes, all the same thing, but only two. Now, there's a good reason for this, and it makes sense, it will in a moment. But in the part of Zambia that I lived in the south, it was very rural, and they had a tradition. And the tradition was that the groom-to-be, had to pay a dowry for the bride-to-be. And this would be settled by the two families. It wasn't a rich area that I was in, that was for sure. But it would be something like six cattle. Cattle were always the big thing to measure in. All right, so like six cattle. Now, the church, in one of its rare moments of wisdom about these sorts of things, said, okay, no sacrament of marriage until the lobola, the dowry, is paid in full. Now, this may sound not very nice or not very fair, but it was very, very prudent. Because what would happen when the bride price was decided, the six cattle? Once the groom-to-be had paid a down payment, say two cattle, then the woman could go live with the husband. And in traditional ways, this was seen to be a real marriage. Now, the church, because we're so good at annulments and things like that, probably was thinking in advance. Because if, after a while is always a vague idea, the whole lobola hadn't been paid, the six cattle, then the woman could go and take all the children with her, however many they had at this time, and go home to her family. And she and her family would have the children, and the husband would be stuck alone. So you would have kind of a sacrament falling apart right before your eyes. Right? And so this was decided it was not a good idea. So what would happen was the typical thing with this lobola, and people would live together, and maybe at age 50, they'd get married in the church, you know, after 30 years of not being able to take communion, and all those sorts of nice things. So, now, this all works surprisingly well, in a way. The problem then comes now, because you've taken in this financial issue, okay? The husband paid for the wife, six cattle. Now, and if the husband paid the whole lobola, then he's paid for the children too, so they're all his. Now, if the husband dies first, and may I say, it's very similar to here, the husband dies first. Okay, when the husband dies first, something terrible happens. This is another one of these tricky little traditions that I never quite got my head completely around. But while the widow and children, if there are children, are burying the husband, the family of the husband, that is his siblings, come and steal everything in the house. And if they can find the keys, they lock it and take possession of the house as well. Why? Well, the husband owned the house, the husband owned the children, the husband owned the wife, and the family was the one who had to pay the cattle in the first place, so it makes sense they get all these things. Well, it's against the law, but the police are useless in Zambia except for taking bribes, so there's just no point, you know, trying to think this out. Now, basically then, what happens is very much like in our biblical story today. The widow ends up with nothing, and usually with children to support as well, because at that point in the game, nobody wants to raise somebody else's children. So she's got them, she's got no property, and she's got no belongings. And somehow people think this is fair in that funny world of fairness. Now, what becomes of that woman is basically a widow's life is hell. It really is. It's a life of begging, of trying to get children through school, of, you know, saying, if she'd taken better care of her husband, he wouldn't have died. All those happy things people say to make you feel good. Today, this widow is a very interesting person, even though she only gets a couple of lines in the scripture. Jesus points her out, and for a number of reasons. People are in giving gifts, thanking God for all he has done for them, right? Here, take 100,000 drachma. Okay, I've had a wonderful profitable year. I have a big family. They're all in the best schools. Take more money. Here you go. And there's kind of this sort of pride in the life that God has given me. Everything is going my way. But what happens with the widow? Jesus sees her very clearly. Now, there's a couple of odd things about the situation. One, widows would not have gone unescorted in public. So apparently, there is no male child, because the son would have been with her to escort her. So her life is worse. No male heirs to boot. Also, if there were other children, there was nobody there to put this money in the box to save her from. I mean, if Jesus could see that she was putting in 2 copper coins, everybody else must have been able to see it too. This is a terrible moment. And we would think, how could she go through this? Why is she there? And she's quite clearly there for this purpose. Jesus tells us she puts in more than everybody else. Well, of course, that can't be exactly right. And those of us here in accounting and finance know it's not right. And even if it were, probably, he says it's all she has. Okay, so let's say she has 2.5 cents and she's put in 2. It's a lot proportionally, but it's not the proportion that's the key thing. The key thing is why this woman must be putting this money in the treasury box. She's thanking God for her many blessings. Maybe. Although it doesn't look like a very blessed life. Everybody else is very cheery. They're having blessed lives. What seems blessed. But this woman is pointed out to us because she is a unique figure in the scriptures. She stands in public, in front of everyone, and puts 2 pennies in this box. Why? Because everything has been taken away from her, and she is free. She is free to say, this is what my life is worth at this moment, 2 pennies. I give it back to you. The woman has reached that point where she knows her own dignity. She knows that the life God has given her, it could have been a different way. Maybe she could have married somebody rich. Maybe her husband wouldn't have died. Maybe she'd had a male child. Maybe it would all have worked out better. But this is the life that God has given her. And she will give what she wants, no matter how foolish it may be, no matter how silly she may appear. This is the call, ultimately, when Jesus says, take these things away, leave them behind. To the rich young man, he can't do it. To the poor widow, for whom it really is crucial, she can. because her experience of God and of her life are remarkably something she sees as a gift. She finds that somewhere, somehow. And Jesus honors her as he can see into what no human heart can know. The real gift that she gives is the gift that was given her in return.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.